I think what's striking about community choice aggregation and about the potential there and about the questions and reservations people have about it is it's always important to remind ourselves that, that cities and local governments have always been in the infrastructure business. You know, they use property taxes to maintain local roads. The water company is often owned and run by the local municipality. In many cities, they have a municipal electric utility, over 2,000 of them in the United States already. And so, when it comes to a question of managing this and having the expertise, I always encourage people to note that this is not something novel. This is not rocket science that cities are taking on. This is infrastructure and something that cities can do very well. But the second piece then is, you know, I think it can seem daunting when you haven't had control of that and when you have someone else in charge of it to think about, you know, how you might manage it. And one of the things I think that's great about this notion of community choice aggregation is you get to say, well, for running the system and, you know, making sure that the grid is working and the poles and the wires are maintained, we don't have to take that over. What we get to do is be the software to the utility's hardware. We get to be the ones in charge of telling them where we buy that energy and set our own priorities for where we want to get it. And I think, you know, in its ideal state, that would mean we could go out and say we want as much or if not all of our energy to come from clean sources that are local. You know, I think in practice there can be challenges with doing that based on the way that energy companies sell power and whether or not you can do a short or a long-term contract and a lot of things in the weeds, I guess I would say. But I think it's a really exciting opportunity, and it's very gratifying to see how many cities and towns in Illinois have taken advantage of it.
What kind of a difference does an ordinary citizen see when their community decides to go this way?
You know, when it comes to flipping the light switch, nothing. The power is going to be there just as reliably when your community has chosen to exercise this local authority as when they don't. What you might see and what many cities saw over the past few years is lower electricity prices. But you've also seen, you know, as many as 100 communities go out and purchase renewable energy. What's happening is essentially that they're paying renewable energy providers that are already out there, folks who have already built wind turbines or solar panels, and they're saying, well, we want to buy a slice of the energy that you produce and so that we can have cleaner electricity for our community. And the challenge there, of course, is you're not necessarily offsetting dirty energy. I mean, these are facilities that have already been built. But the benefit is that you are supporting developers and producers of clean energy. And I think that's an important message to be sending as a community, if that's a value that you have.
Is it true that there's an economic advantage and that might be more of a better way to be able to sell it to people?
Absolutely. And I think that, frankly, is, you know, what our organization is about and what motivates cities and towns and communities across the country to go and pursue renewable energy is the economics. They, you know, the cost of wind power and of solar power continues to come down and is already competitive in many places with the traditional sources of electricity generation that have been owned by these big monopoly utilities. And so, you know, I think you see a lot of different elements involved in it, but I think definitely a community's self-interest and this opportunity to improve the local economy, whether that's by saving on electricity costs or producing energy locally and reaping those economic benefits, I think that's unquestionably what's in the driver's seat in 2014.